If you watched the news yesterday, this is what you saw.
Begins with breaking news.
Breaking news in Norway. Investigators just found a bomb at a summer youth camp that was the scene of a shooting massacre today. Right now, reports are saying at least 80 young people were killed. Hours before that shooting, a massive bomb blast in the heart of Oslo. At least 7 people died there. Tonight, we know the name of the suspect in both of those attacks.
He is Anders Breivik, a 32-year-old Norwegian man. And right now, police say this massacre looks to be the work of one man, and the death toll is likely to climb. This all began when a bomb ripped through downtown Oslo. It happened outside the Prime Minister's office. 7 people were killed. The first cameras on scene showed huge plumes of smoke pouring from buildings and rubble in the streets. Investigators say the suspect had been seen in Oslo shortly before that bombing. Gunfire erupted a short time later at a youth summer camp on an island about an hour north of Oslo. A man dressed as a police officer opened fire on campers. Officials now say at least 80 people were killed. Witnesses say even kids who jumped in the water to escape the bullets were not spared.
A lot of people running and screaming, so I ran to the nearest building.
Police also found an unexploded device at that youth camp where, again, at least 80 young people have been massacred today. They're still searching for more explosives, and at least 90 people have been injured. President Obama is offering U.S. support.
If you remember a song from a couple years ago, there was a song by My Chemical Romance. It went like this. Okay, what kind of a series title is that for Sunday morning at Ignite Youth? What are we thinking? What are we up to? We all okay, right? I mean, if I ask you, how are you? You'll probably say, fine and you? Okay and you? Don't you say that? Someone says, cool, how are you doing? What do you stop and say? Oh, no, I'm not doing well at all. I'm not great. I'm really sad. What do you say? I'm fine. You know the happy face you put on? Put that face on that you normally use when people say, how are you? Hey, I'm fine. Behind it, I wonder. I want you to see what thoughts come to mind as this song by Superchicks called Hero reminds us of the reality of the world that we live in and the pain that's all around us.
To belong. It's not like you hate him or want him to die, but when much pain to survive on her own. The hurt she can't handle overflows to a knife. She writes on her arm, wants to give up her life. Each day she goes on is a day that she's brave. Fighting the lie that giving up is the way. Each moment of courage, her own life she saves. When she throws the pills out, a hero is made. Heroes are made when you make a choice.
Again, when he shed another tear, so he walked through the door, grabbed a 4-4 out of his father's dresser drawer, and said, "I can't take life no more." And like that, life can be lost. But this ain't even about that. All of us just sat back and watched it happen. See, it's not my responsibility to solve a problem. It isn't about me. This is our problem. This is just one of the daily scenarios which we choose to close our eyes instead of doing the right thing. We make a choice to be the voice for those who won't speak up for themselves. How many lives have been saved, changed, and rearranged? Now it's our time to pick a side. Don't keep watching.
A month ago, we buried someone whose face was on that wall. I don't know if you know that. Mikala Imton, I met her at Greenside High in last year, I think about April or so. She came to SCA one or two times. We had an SCA camp. My whole family was there. We got to know her. She would come and stay over at our home. Ashley would stay at her home. Her dad was a fireman down in Roosevelt Park, lived in that big block of flats by the fire station. Came to youth a couple Friday nights, only journeyed with us until the end of last year, about December month, where things weren't going too great with Dad and school at Greenside. She was sent back to Middleburg. And her way of dealing with pain was to inflict pain on herself so that she could feel better about what she was going through. I wish I could suggest that no one else here has ever experienced something like that, but I'm sure that's not true. And she decided, I think there was some news of her grandpa who had died, and she just felt that that was too much. And on my daughter's birthday on the 21st of June, she decided to take her own life by hanging. I don't think we ever thought we would bury someone from youth or have a memorial service in Joburg. We don't bury Ignite Youth. You should be burying us, old people, you know? But she wasn't okay. She was not okay. I bet you if you had asked her on a Friday night, "How are you?" "Hey, I'm fine. Anyone ever remember her, Mikala?" She was this bundle of energy and joy. But underneath that surface, underneath that face, that mask, that beautiful smile, there was pain and hurt. And because she was being shunted around in life between people, she just never got the help that she needed. I'm not okay. And that's what got us thinking about, you know, we spend a lot of time being okay, but just maybe, there's an area of my life in which I'm not okay. And here's what I want you to do as we start off really gently. I want you to turn to that person sitting next to you, look them in the eyes and say to them, "In what area of your life are you not okay?" And don't let them get away. Don't let them squirm or look away. Say to them, "Look me in the eyes. Don't look away. In what area of your life are you not okay?" Okay? Just where you are in pairs. And cool. If there's three of you and not two, you can do it together. Okay? And then let that person ask it back to you when you're done.
7.5 seconds left. 3 1/4. 2 5/8. 1 2/3. Half a second. Time's up. I don't need to talk today about what okay looks like. I think we all know what okay looks like. You know, if I had to say to you, what does it feel like or look like to be okay? I think all of you would know that. You know when you're okay, don't you? Things are cool. Really, No, really, I'm okay. But what is it? How do we identify when we're not okay? Well, here's some statements. You know you're not okay when you long for someone to know what you're really going through. I mean, take a read with me. Sometimes when I say I'm okay, I want someone to look me in the eyes, hug me tight, and say, I know you're not, but I'm here for you. If you want to talk about it, I'm here for you. Sometimes at that point, if you say to me, how are you doing, and I want to cover it up, maybe I'm not ready to speak yet. But if I know that you are a friend of mine and you can say, man, I know you're not okay, and it's cool, I'm here, I'll be here for you. So I know I'm not okay when I long for someone to know, but I don't let on. I know I'm not okay when I hide what I'm really feeling, when I try and hide it away from you. Look at all those words behind I'm okay. Lonely, solitary, depressed, distressed, plagued, alone, bedeviled, morose, suicidal, destroyed. I feel quite sad just reading those. And despite that, what I'm feeling, I probably put on this face to you and say, oh, I'm cool, I'm okay. Because in that moment, I'm using all my energy to be brave, to put on a good face. You know you're not okay when you just want to be left alone. Have you ever said that? Just leave me alone. You normally say that with your teeth clenched. It's like, leave me alone. It's the worst thing that we ever hear, in a home. You just don't want one family member saying that to another because there's a reason why that's happening. When you're okay, you want to be with people. But when you just say, I just need to be alone now. Aloneness is okay sometimes, but it can be dangerous. You just want to be left alone. What about when you experience rage or anger that actually just might scare you? I mean, as we watched that news this weekend of that horrible situation, someone clearly disgruntled. And it's been in the news for the last, I don't know how many years, where people have been out and outcast and lonely, and they've come into their schools, and even in South Africa this has happened. And they just do something absolutely horrendous, too horrendous to think. Just hidden rage that suddenly just bubbles to the surface. You know you're not okay when you find dangerous ways to deal with your pain. One of the incredible things that happened as Makala's story came and we started to make sense of what was happening was that I began to hear reports and stories of how many people actually felt under such extreme pain that they themselves were involved in cutting, just like Makala was. And maybe you've been there. Maybe you've had such extreme pain in some area of your life that you've had to do something painful to cope with it. Maybe you've experienced depression before, because you know you're not okay when you're depressed. And I don't just mean, my airtime has run out, I'm a bit sad about that. It's Monday, I don't really want to go to school, I'm a bit sad about that. But a deep depression that feels like a pit that you've fallen into and you can't get out, and it seems like there's just no hope, you're not going to make it. It's just like doom and gloom, and for days you live in that pit of despair. You know you're not okay when you consider ending your life. I remember driving down a freeway at 140 kilometers an hour and pointing my car towards a bridge with the intention of taking my own life. There was no hope. There was just, I'm better off dead. I don't know if you've ever been there. I know you don't drive yet. But thinking in some way like, I wish I was dead. Have you ever thought that? Job did, and we'll talk about that just now. I wish I was dead. I wish I wasn't here. This is too tough. My parents are going through this stuff and maybe not even going to be together next month. I wish I wasn't born. How can it be in the midst of the victory series we've just been through? Of the I Am series where we taught you guys about I am what? Warrior. I am a friend. I am, you know, wow, I have this new identity. Or we can come and give testimonies of like how amazing God is in our life. And after all, many of us or most of us are on this journey with Jesus. We would call ourselves saved. I'm saved. I'm a follower of Jesus. Do you think being saved and following Jesus makes you exempt from being not okay? I think some of us feel like the answer to that should be yes. We should never feel bad. We should never be doing anything else than following our destiny. I wonder maybe if we've overlooked some places in the Bible that teach us to have victory and destiny and to be saved and to be glorious and like conqueror. But in that same book, I read of things, for example, like this dude. There's three old men around this guy in the middle there, and he doesn't look a happy camper, right? Actually, he's sitting in a rubbish dump. He's using a piece of pottery to scrape off the boils on his body. He is in such a bad way. Job has lost everything. His oxen, his donkeys, his camels, his sheep, his shepherds, his laborers. His health has gone for a ball of wax, and his friends have been lost to him. He even lost family members. He's not okay. Maybe the right thing to say from Job is, hey, Job, how you doing? Oh, I'm okay. I've lost everything. It's awesome. I don't have to pick up poop after my sheep anymore. No, I think Job actually says, God, I wish my life had never happened. I wish you could rewind and I wasn't here. Wish you could wipe me out. He's not a happy chap. There was a chap even in the New Testament, in case you think it's just before Jesus came. This dude says, Paul, 5 times the Jewish leaders beat me with 39 lashes. Do the maths. 5 times 39 is? No one knows. 196-ish, is it? Mm-hmm. 3 times Roman officials beat me with clubs. Clubs, 3 times. Sounds like a whole lot on each occasion. That doesn't sound nice. Once people tried to stone me to death. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Not nice being shipwrecked. You know, obviously if there's a beautiful desert island and this is actually Pirates of the Caribbean, that can be quite cool. But to be shipwrecked in the ocean, I faced dangers from raging rivers, from robbers, from my own people. Faced dangers in the city, in the open country, on the sea, and from believers who turned out to be false friends. It's never nice to be betrayed by your false friends or your friends. I've often gone without sleep, been hungry and thirsty, and gone without food and without proper clothes during cold weather. Paul, how are you doing? I'm okay. Doesn't sound like the word okay would be used at that point. I feel like I want to slit my wrists right now. Don't you feel it's a bit depressing? Saddening? Well, what if it's possible that we're going to be able to say, I'm not okay, but I will be? Say that with me. I'm not okay, but I will be. Let's try that together. I'm not okay, but I will be. Someday. Someday. I've lived now for 49 years. Who can times 49 years by 52? Because that's how many weeks. And what I've found in every single week, guess what's come after Monday? Tuesday. Every single one of those weeks. And sometimes you feel like this is the worst possible thing. This is it. There's no hope. There's no light. But there is light. And it's not a train in the tunnel with its headlights on. It's hope. It's I'm getting somewhere. I'm not okay in this area of my life. So we're not suggesting today that we're all totally messed up and we're all about to go plant a bomb or get a gun and shoot our classmates. I don't. Is anyone feeling that? Because if you do, we need to disarm you before you go. But you might be feeling there's an area of my life that's not okay, and I need it to be. And here's what we're saying. I'm not okay in this area, but I will be okay. You know, we sing it sometimes. We sing a cool little song that kind of is based on these words. In every way we're troubled, but we aren't crushed. So I'm under huge trouble, but you know what? I'm not like crushed like a bug. We're frustrated. Have you ever been frustrated trying to get something right? You do that math formula, it's not working, but guess what? You try it again, and before you know it, like, wow, I've done it and I've mastered it. Anyone ever learned to drive a bicycle? Man, it was tough, wasn't it? Was like, how do you keep this thing straight? How do you remember to keep the pedals turning the whole way? I'm frustrated, but I'm not giving up. I'm persecuted, but I'm not abandoned. I'm captured even, but I'm not killed. Better to be a prisoner of war than to be killed. I'm not okay, but I will be. And so in this series, as we in the future begin to explore issues, I want to talk to you briefly this morning about steps from not okay to okay, because I think there are steps that we can follow. And you're going to have to take this and follow these steps, otherwise we're going to be at your memorial service. Because when you get depressed and when you get sad, you just may well be tempted to like do something really crazy. And so what do I do when I feel, oh, this is crazy, I'm not going to make it? Here's what I want to suggest, that the first thing we do is we admit to ourselves that we're not okay. That's the biggest problem, ultimately, that we can't admit to ourselves. That's why I take pleasure, says Paul, in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Okay, we'll get to that last part maybe at another time or later just now. But he's admitting that he's got weaknesses, that he's had insults and hardships and persecutions. And Jesus said the good news is that in this world you will have hardships and troubles, but be of good courage because I've overcome the world. I need to admit to myself. Once I've admitted to myself, I'm going to suggest to you that I need to speak to Father. And I'm talking about my Heavenly Father here. Righteous people cry out. The Lord hears and rescues them from all their troubles. It's like God is waiting for us to say, God, I need help. And that's His cue. You know, like this morning, we desperately waited for a cue to be released from the service, and we weren't released. Just someone give us a sign that we can leave because we don't want to be rude and stand up while someone's talking. And God is waiting for you to say, because He's the perfect gentleman. He won't like force His way on you, His will on you. He'll wait. And when you put your hand up and say, Father, help, God already begins to mobilize situations. So the first thing that I need to do is I need to admit to myself I'm not okay. And then I need to speak to Father. And Father, I mean, God knows me. It's crazy how sometimes I try and con God. Hey, God, it's me, Mark. I'm fine. God's like, really? I know you. Are you sure you're fine? I'm like, yeah. Really? Like, Adam, where are you? I'm hiding away in the garden. How stupid. I'm the all-seeing one. As I admit to myself, as I speak to Father, I need to tell a friend. Sounds a bit like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, doesn't it? Phone a friend. But you need to. If one falls, the other can help his friend get up. But how tragic it is for the one who is all alone when he falls. There is no one to help him get up. When you fall, you want a friend to be there. And I want to put the responsibility on us in two ways. One, for me personally. If I'm about to fall, I need to phone a friend. I need to pick up the phone or I need to call or scream it out or help. I need to tell. And I think what we also need to be doing in this place is checking out for each other. Hey, you don't look cool. I want to be that person who says, I know you've said you're okay, but I don't think you are. And can I help? Tell a friend. I'm trying to think, what was the first one again? I can't remember that. What's the first step to okay? Admit it to yourself. Then there was another one after that. I've just forgotten for a moment. Speak to Father. Then there was a third one. Tell a friend. Because friends give us the courage to lift the blinds on our hearts, to open up and show what we generally keep hidden from the rest of the world. I trust you have a friend like that, at least one. Someone to whom you can open up. Number four, I'm going to suggest that sometimes you need to ask for help more seriously even than just telling a friend. And it's beyond that sometimes. There was a time in which I was doing great work in a Bible school, but I was neglecting my family. And my wife actually said, I came home one day and she was sitting saying, I think I'm going to take the kids and we're going to move back to Durban to my mum's place because you're so busy and we never see you. Do you know it took six sessions with a Christian counselor sitting on a couch. And I cannot tell you how embarrassed I was as a male to be dragged off to counseling. Because there's something about men. I walked into my workplace on a Monday morning in the Durban City Treasury office. And I said, where's Richard DeShazel, my boss? And they said, haven't you heard? He killed his two kids, then his wife, and himself this weekend with a shotgun. I'm like, what? Richard, my boss? What happened? Oh, he got into financial difficulties. And he was not willing to go for counseling for financial difficulties. He was too proud. And it's often our pride that keeps us from saying, you know what, I need help. And we are going to sit in a counseling office. And that thing that happened probably about 12, 13 years now ago, our kids were already small, Drew wasn't even with us, but that turned our marriage around. Because I made some decisions from that day to not lose my family. And here's what it says. Take good counsel and accept correction. That's the way to live wisely and well. We need to open up ourselves. And we're going to make people available to you. If you need help, we will put you in contact with someone who can help. Better that than who knows what situation you find yourself in. I'm just trying to think. I think it was accept, you know, admit it to yourself. Then I think it was something like, what was it? Speak to Father. Then I think it was tell a friend. And then ask for help and focus on the future. Because that's what happens when we're not okay. We think this is it. I'm not going to make it. There's no Tuesday. I'm not going to feel okay after this. That best friend has dumped me or stabbed me in the back. But you know what? We can have a future focus. And this is what Paul says. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. If I could see my problem at the way God sees it. Now don't rush to someone and say, hey, you just got a small problem, get over yourself. Because to them, that problem is a mountain. But if we could see it from God's eyes and from the future perspective, from the rest of our lives, that thing is going to pass. And they produce in us a glory that far outweighs the problems in the first place. And those glories, those blessings are going to last forever. And I'm going to be able to comfort others. And I've been able to speak into other people's lives in a marriage context who've needed help because of what we went through and how tough it was for us as a couple. Focus on the future. Here's what we want to do. We don't want to talk about things that are irrelevant to you. I don't want to talk about stress at the office. Because if I talk about stress at the office, Asunda will be here, and CK will be here, who works for Bright Blue, and Imta will be here because of heavy stress here in Ignite Youth. But the rest of you are like, boring. We want to talk about the things that are not okay with you. Now, this is going to be a non-self-disclosing thing. In other words, you're not going to put your names on this. Imta's going to pass around with one of you guys going to help. Everyone's going to get a piece of paper. I want you to write just one issue on that piece of paper that you would like us to address. Something that might cause you, that has caused you, or something you've even heard, that has caused you in a particular area to not be okay. Okay? And you've got about a minute or two to do this. And then out of this, we'll create the next 3 weeks at Ignite Youth, so we know we're addressing things. So what is it, an issue either in you or among your friends, that you feel has caused people to get into such a desperate state that they would even be willing to end their life and deprive the world of their beauty and their spirit? So our commitment is to find out what are some of those common things that you're facing, and we'll begin to talk about them in coming weeks. Don't forget, we smudging into Friday night with this. It's not like Friday night's going to address these issues and next Sunday others, because it's a Sunday series, but we'll have some connection with this and some opportunity to interact on Friday nights as well. I want us to get to the place where it's okay to say, I'm not okay. And Asanda was just saying, this is not just young people that are not okay. You know, we know of people that would say, I don't want to tell people what I'm going through because they think I'm a heavy friend and they don't want to be around me now because I've got issues or whatever. And I hope we're the kind of friends that would say, I'm going to stick with you until whatever you're going through is behind you. And I'm going to help you build a bridge, you know, to a new place, a better future. And no matter how small our issue might seem, I don't think any of us have been tempted to blow our classmates away. And so maybe, you know, our issues are way, way less. But for me, when I'm thinking and going through tough times, it's as serious an issue. I'm going to pray that God will really enable the coming weeks to be a really significant time together. And if you do miss a Sunday, don't forget you can go to the Ignite Youth Facebook site. If you search for Ignite Youth, you'll find our group page, and we do upload the audio and the PowerPoint every week. So if you want to grab that, you're welcome to. Thanks, Imtan. Okay, let's have a word of prayer. Father, this morning we've been real about where we're at, what we're going through, and we want to start this journey of speaking out, Lord God, where we are not okay, and that area that is tough and difficult for us. We want you to come and walk among us in the coming weeks and give us wisdom, discernment, and how to handle the tough stuff that we go through. Lord, no one is there from this room that sees us after hours as we cry tears into our pillow. Lord, as we sometimes might even be tempted to inflict pain on ourselves to cope when around us things are causing us pain. Lord, that anger that rises up sometimes that make us just want to get out of our family and not be part of life anymore. We pray, Lord God, that you would help us to admit to ourselves when we're not okay. That, Lord, you would show us, Lord, how we can draw near to you and what that looks like. How we can tell a friend or even seek out counseling as we ask for help. And Lord, that you would give us a focus on the future that would say, no matter what I'm going through now, I'm going to get through this. I am not okay, but I will be. So God, walk with us in these coming weeks. Help us, Lord, to pick up the phone, Lord, and to find those friends that would be closer than a brother. Lord, we know that you love us, that you will always be with us. You've promised to never leave us or forsake us. And right now, Lord, if any of us are going through a critical time, I pray that right now as we admit it to ourselves, as we speak it to you, we just hear your voice saying, I'm with you in this. And it's dark now, but the morning's coming and the light is coming. And God, won't you already begin to bring people into our lives that would be the help that we need? Thank you, Lord, that you've given us a life and a destiny and a future and a hope. And we will speak out and we would own the destiny that you've given us and placed on us. We pray this in your name. Amen.